This is the August 3 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Jason Clapp of Risk Management Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, Amy Sage of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org, and more importantly, visit farmassetsconference.com right now and buy your tickets for our November the 22nd Farm Assets Conference. It's in Normal, Illinois, an all-day event, just $30, and if you're a farmer, you'll be reimbursed for that $30 bill. Don't wait. Do it right now. FarmAssetsConference.com or WillAg.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's begin with the usual question. Jason Clapp, what's on your list of things to discuss for the day?
If the Cubs can rally and win the World Series, can corn rally and give me some higher prices for what I've got left to sell?
Amy Sage of the Andersons.
Yep, just want to make sure we're thinking about 2017 crop and even 2018 too as we're making our plans for what to do with the rest of 2016 as well.
And Dan Zwicker.
How will the markets perform once the election's over with?
Okay, so let's start there, Dan Zwicker. You and I had a discussion Thursday afternoon about where you thought the markets might be in the short and longer term. Can you go through those technical thoughts again, please?
Well, I think in the short term, the market is still vulnerable to some downward correctional measures as we go on in the next week. How deep they are, I question whether or not they'll be very deep, but I still think that we did come off of an overbought technical condition after the rally kind of crested here last week, and now we're in a correctional decline. Lead futures corn has only declined about 23%, the same way with Dease corn. Now, beans have kind of declined about 50% of their advance out of their harvest lows or early harvest lows. And we'll see whether or not those levels can kind of hold, or if we go on down to a 38% retracement on corn and maybe a 62% retracement on beans. But I do think we're vulnerable to some downward correctional measures, but I also think the market in a position to make a short-term cycle low, can kind of regroup and then have some kind of rally maybe on into the end of November.
We'll come back at the end of our conversation here and take a look at some of your longer-term thoughts. And those who don't quite get that far, they can always hear it on the closing market report as well. Okay, Amy Sage, let's deal with right now instead of looking forward into 2017. Where do you suppose farmers are on sales for both corn and soybeans?
Yep. So on corn, we went into harvest with about half the book on that what people typically have, which I think was pretty industry-wide, which there was no surprises there. We didn't have a lot of opportunity to sell what most consider to be attractive levels and or profitable levels. So went in a little bit light. We have had people making some catch-up sales when we did get the rally here. So we were looking at getting a little bit more price, but still not an overwhelming amount. So I would say at this point, we are probably still a little light for this time of year, especially given a good crop size as well. So that adds more to get marketed. But I would say we're looking at about 25% in corn. Beans are a little bit of a different story because we were coming off of lows then into the summer, had some opportunities to start hitting some trigger numbers. Once we got above $9, we started seeing people get some forward sales on for the 2016 crop, but $9.50, $10, $10.50, $11, $11.50. So we started to get a little bit more of a book on. you know, as far as that goes, though, people are only going to get so far sold in June on soybeans, not knowing what type of crop size they're going to have. So have seen a little bit get sold across the scale in beans, but not an overwhelming amount either, buying a little bit on some rallies. But we went in a little bit further in progress. So I would say we're probably about the same percentage-wise in beans as we are in corn. It just was a different route to get there.
Does it surprise you that you haven't bought more beans at these levels?
A little bit. The thing of that is it depends on when they came in. So if people had beans coming in above their contract while we were on the highs here on this rally, then they took advantage of that a little bit. But folks who had already been paying a little bit of DP charges on them, willing to wait that out and see if we could capitalize on a little bit more of a bounce throughout the rest of the year.
Jason Clapp, your feel of the market right now?
I am inclined to think kind of like Dan there. You know, I think the market's really more concerned about the upcoming election and just kind of has a feel of money in general flowing out of commodities or stock indexes or whatever you want to look at. So, you know, I'm really curious to see how we react after next week. So
what is your thought? Why is the market nervous?
I think you can find about any answer you want in the case of those, but most of what I read in general is, you know, probably some negative feelings from the stock market if we get a President Clinton, and probably initial pullback on both, you know, either one of them to get elected, just because we really don't know, you know, policies or ideas going forward this early in the game. So, but to me, from what I read and kind of what I see, it seems like President Trump might be a little more friendly business. So, you know, over time, maybe a little more positive reaction out of that. But like I said, I think you can find about any answer you want. So.
Okay, so let's turn to something that's a little safer. Is it easier to talk about crude oil and the effect that dropping back on crude oil has had on commodities, Jason?
That could play a part in it, too. We've had a pretty good sell-off here the last several days. And, you know, going off again, the fact that OPEC can't seem to get their act together and cap a production number. To where, yeah, if you look at crude oil kind of being the granddaddy of them all, you know, negative sentiment in that market would certainly weigh on other commodities.
What do we think going forward then into 2017? Amy Sage, you thought about looking forward at this point and making, I don't know, sales or not?
I guess I'm probably not to the point where I'm making a lot of sales yet, but what I guess I'd like to look at is, okay, next sale that we're making on old crop corn, should we be looking at if we need to start in on December 17? Do we want to use any marketing programs out there to get that working? There has been some opportunities to lock in some floors with a ceiling, get yourself a little window. Some profitable levels for most people on D17 corn. I hate to give up any upside potential at this point because we do have a long way to go, but I do like protecting the downside. If we can do that where we're penciling out you know, a profitable margin there for D17 corn. And I think looking at a 386 on the D's, we're pretty close to that. If you can do that in a fashion of leaving yourself some upside, whether that be via min-max with puts and calls, some type of mechanical program, or selling and buying an out-of-the-money call against it.
Dan, I want to talk a little bit about the fundamentals of the marketplace. Is there room for ethanol to grow? It's already up 100 million bushels for the current marketing year.
I don't know if we could see much growth in that. Cars have gotten more fuel efficient. We've had a lot of miles driven this past year, so people, the lower price gasoline basically has stirred up a lot of more vacation travel. But I don't know if there's any room to go. I think that market is somewhat mature. There's maybe room, you know, possibly in the export market, but my guess is that we're fairly mature in that market, at least for right now. But a lot of that will, I think, depend upon the economy And I think there's a lot of signals out there that are implying, regardless who wins or loses on Tuesday, that the economy is ripe for recessionary activity. And if that comes into play, well, then there probably wouldn't be much room for any kind of increase in ethanol demand.
Jason, I want to stay again with the fundamentals, but take up the feed and residual for me, and Amy, I'll let you do the export market.
Feed and residual, you know, from what we're hearing from the marketplace, you could see a little bit of a pullback on those usage numbers based on animal production shrinking up just a little bit as we move forward into the winter and into next year.
And the export market, Amy Sage?
Yep, we're still looking for good export numbers. That market side of the market has been helping us out here when we're looking at a strong supply side, so not anticipating too much negativity in that department.
So nothing really changing or no big changes in store from most of you on any of the real fundamental sides of the marketplace as it pertains to usage and consumption. So Dan, I suppose that leaves us with a couple of options that we have to consider: what's happening in South America, and then what might happen with acreage in the United States. And you can take up either side or both of those.
Well, that's it's, you know, in order to get the market to go significantly higher from these levels, we're going to have to find a way to shorten up world supply. Now, whether that means a shorter South American crop, or a southern hemisphere crop, or a shorter northern hemisphere crop. First up will be the southern hemisphere crop, whether or not they will be able to, you know, make up for their losses that they had last year, or if they have if they would have weather issues in that area. From a cyclical point of view on corn and wheat and even soybeans, if you take a look at your monthly charts, you can kind of see about every 7.5 years or thereabout, give or take 6 months, the market has had a tendency to make a major price lows, and then that is usually followed by a year or two of stronger prices. So when I look at raw price data, and the cyclical nature of commodity complexes, I would be inclined to think that next year is going to be a better year for pricing opportunities as we go into the 17 growing season. The question is what's going to be the fundamental that drives it? And that's to be yet to be unfolded. But at least when I look at the monthly charts, I can visualize that there is some upside potential as we go down the road in 2017.
But let's take a look now at what might be coming next week with World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates and the Crop Production Report. They're due out on the 9th day of November. We'll have, of course, everything up on our website at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon if you're in the Eastern Time Zone. Corn now stands at roughly 15 billion bushels even. It's 15 billion and 57 million. With a carryout of 2.32 billion bushels, Jason Clapp, do you expect many changes to come in the numbers, the yield for corn at 173.4?
Over time, I do. I would think that number would be shrinking as we go into the winter time frame here. And just based on phone conversations from our client base from Iowa to Ohio and even down in Texas in some areas, the crop's just not quite as big as what it was a month ago. And it's really kind of interesting to see, even with what Dad and I farm, you know, being out in it in late August and doing kernel counts and ear counts and yield estimates, and then actually going through the fields, you know, yields are off anywhere from 10 to 30 bushels on corn. So if something happened out there at the tail end of the growing season that just really sapped a bunch of bushels away from the field. So I'd be watching for yields to decrease myself.
Wait, this isn't perception on your part. These are actual field counts, and you believe this will show up?
Yeah, To me, it's widespread. Like I said, it's through our entire client base. To where if it doesn't come on a WASDE report, I would expect to see something like that kind of start to act up in the cash market.
And so not just an Indiana and Ohio thing either, but across your client base throughout the Corn Belt.
Yeah. Yep. Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, for the guys I talk to.
Amy Sage, can you verify or deny this?
So, there have been some really good yields in our area. There's no two ways about that, both corn and beans. But there is a lot of areas that, thought we were going to have a 2014 plus yield that are 10 to 20 bushels off of those record numbers. The only thing that I would say about that is that there are some areas that we had holes in 2014 that didn't perform as well, or some spots that were just not as fortunate, that were isolated cases that, while those were disappointing in 2014, they were not this year. So I think some of those weaker areas in the 2014 record crop in our region will be offset to an extent by the areas that didn't perform as well. So I think that there is room for reduction. I'm not sure how much, but I don't think that we are setting a record here.
Hey, Jason, I want to come back to you on this one just to get your full thought process and make sure that we have this out there right. So you're of the opinion that the crop is smaller. By how much potentially, and when do you think that might be built into the marketplace?
I think it'll take a couple of reports here as, kind of the USDA is somewhat slower sometimes to make changes, or not slower, but more cautious. So I would look for small reductions potentially on each report going forward until we get a final number in January, probably to me closer to 170. I'm kind of in agreement with Amy there. I don't think we're quite as good as we were in 2014.
170 would be a long ways down. There have been some numbers out for a long time that have been there. That's a pretty good dip from 173.4.
And possible. If you look back at the 2014 reports, we kind of had a similar fashion of reductions going into the final yield number.
I just seem to think it's awful amazing that, given the size of the crop that we've raised, Dease corn is within pennies of $3.50. November beans did fall off of their 10-something high last week, but who would ever thought that beans would have been trading $10 at the end of October, given the size of the bean crop? So, there's a lot of professional advisory groups that sold beans at $9 and sold corn at $3.70. So the market, it's amazing how it has held up. And there's a reason. I know there's demand underneath this thing, but there could be other reasons. I don't know if the November crop report is going to show big changes one way or the other. The next bicky is going to be the final, and the reason the final will be the big one is because they'll take a grain stock survey on December 1st and then basically back their way out of into a production number. They'll look at the September 1 stocks numbers, and then they'll try to subtract what kind of usage we had during that quarter, and then they'll try to then go back, and then they'll take a look at their acres, they'll look at their yields, and then they'll say, well, then this is what production should be. So I think any big changes in production is going to be held off until they see what the grain stocks report is, and then they'll kind of, back their way into a production number, a yield number, any changes in acres and whatnot. So I think that is basically a January issue rather than more of a November crop report issue.
And they also in December survey farmers and get their final yield thoughts, and and that's a large survey, so all getting ready for that January USDA final report. So for producers who need to do something before January because they have bills to pay, what should they do, Dan?
I've been in the opinion for some time that I thought they had up through the first week of November to kind of make their decisions on what they wanted to do. And the reason I base that on is that it's not always the case. There's nothing in the commodity market that you use the word always or never. But as a rule, I have noticed over the years when we're changing presidential administrations, and I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican, it's party neutral. You have a tendency for the markets to move lower after an election that we're changing power. And the only explanation that I can say at that part is the employees of the current administration are out trying to find jobs. They're more interested in sending out resumes and talking on the phone, trying to find the job. And the new administration, it takes them a long time to find the people that they want to fill those political slots with. And then it takes them 6 months to find where the restrooms are. So we're kind of in a vacuum for a period of time. Where the market, where the government may not even be working. I'm not too sure it works today, but when you're transitioning a power, the markets have a tendency that the air goes out of the balloon on a lot of markets. So that would be something that I would be watching very carefully if I was a farmer that needed to make some sales for cash flow purposes or income tax purposes. I don't think anybody's probably an income tax problem with these prices, but mostly for probably cash flow purposes. I think they need to kind of watch this market pretty careful as we go through the election and then maybe the November crop report.
Amy and Jason, the same questions for you. I'll start with you, Amy. What should producers do if they need to make sales before January to pay bills?
Yep. So a couple different options here, depending on where you're at in your marketing. If you need to generate some cash, we have had a bounce here, and I don't think it would do any harm to have some offers in if we do get a little bit more of a rally to get some sold. If you're going to need to generate some cash, obviously, with beans where they're at right now, that can provide some opportunities to help with that scenario. The other thing is you know, if you want to hang on to some corn, you know, until the spring or summer, which I think most people are going to want to do a little bit of, you can always lock in the basis, and most places will let you take an advance. You know, if it's in the elevator and go that route, you can go ahead and get some cash sold on a rally. And if you do want to maintain some upside, you can attach a call to that angle of it, or you can lock in a floor via puts. I guess that's probably the least efficient route in this environment here on 2016 corn. But I would say a combination of that is what most people are going to use. We have had people actively having these discussions for guys that still have crop left to come into the elevator. You can lock in basis as opposed to paying DP or storage charges if you want to go that route to generate some cash. Obviously, by doing that, you're giving up any upside potential in basis improvement there, but it does help with some cash flow needs if you want to hang on to some crop.
I think Amy pretty well covered it. The one thing I would make a comment on is that, you know, if you're going to sell grain and buy call options, now would be a good time to do it. Over the past several weeks, volatility's kind of slowly been creeping out of the market, so it's making those premiums on those options a lot cheaper. And very affordable for, you know, especially in the corn market. So
let's get down to our final thoughts now. We'll start with you, Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting.
Just looking at the corn-soybean ratio, I guess I'm in the opinion that corn is going to gain on soybeans as we go down the road. So I think corn is probably the strongest commodity. Soybeans are probably the weakest commodity. It's not necessarily going to work real smoothly, but I guess I'm in the opinion that corn is going to gain on soybeans as we go down the road. So farmers can kind of make their decisions on what they want to sell or hold based upon that.
Dan Zwicker, of course, is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Amy Sage is with the Andersons. They're located right here in Champaign County. Amy?
Yep, I would say, again, just make sure we're keeping our focus on what to do with this year's crop, as well as have been actively planning for the following 2 years, too, in case those opportunities arise, and we don't want to go unprepared into those deferred crop years as well. Another thing to pay attention to, especially on these hedges or for crop that you have in the bin, is watching the spread and the carry and locking in when you think that that's a good time to do that, and we can always have those discussions as well. So now's the time when the crop gets out to make sure to have a plan in place for those bushels as well.
And from Lafayette, Indiana, and Risk Management Commodities, Jason Clapp.
I really like Amy's comments there about thinking about, your next crop that you're going to grow for corn and beans, looking at those prices and getting offers in because we are at profitable levels, barring good production. So, paying attention to that while they're still give a good opportunity is something we've been talking about for our guys for a couple weeks now.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. There you can purchase your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference. It's the 22nd day of November. All the details at WILLAG.org, farmassetsconference.com. Our thanks to our panelists today, including Jason Clapp of Risk Management Consulting, Amy Sage of the Andersons, and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.